Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahunt. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum and peace be. Assalamu alaikum.
And peace be unto you all. It is a pleasure to be back with you once again on Elevated Places.
I'm picking up an echo, so I'm going to have to work on my audio. And so in the interim, I couldn't be more blessed. We have a very special show tonight for you, absolutely. And this is the 13th of November, 2014. You can call and join the discussion at 347-324-5091. And what I'm going to do is first welcome our Elevated Places contributor and analyst, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. And Brother Terrence, I'm going to ask you, my co-host, to take over while I fix my audio.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Wonderful, wonderful segue. I'm not sure if I'm hearing you're hearing the same feedback, too, Dr. Ridgely, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm hearing the same feedback.
Wow. So I'm not sure.
Okay.
Hopefully
now.
Oh, it's gone
now? Oh, it came back.
Oh, okay. Maybe our tech person that's secretly hiding behind the scenes, maybe it'll work it out. But I think it's gone now.
Yeah, it's gone now.
It's gone. Well, we want to welcome everybody to Ask Dr. Ava once again. I'm her co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, with our Ask Dr. Ava contributor, Dr. Ridgely, here on the line as we're waiting for Sister Ava to come right back on the line. But we want to make sure that you continue to follow her at Dr. Ava Muhammad, at Dr. Ava Muhammad on Twitter. And you can also get her new book, Naturally Beautiful, and she will give you the website for that, or we'll get that to you shortly. It's a wonderful and amazing book based off one of her previous and earlier lectures, so you want to make sure that you get your copy if you haven't gotten the latest book by Dr. Ava Muhammad. And like I said, follow her on Twitter at Dr. Ava Muhammad, and you can follow myself at HipHopTC. Well, you know, Dr. Ridgely, there's a lot going on. I'm going to try to run through all of the things that we have going on.
Yes,
we want to let everybody know we're waiting the grand jury of the issues that are going on in Ferguson. That seems to be very intense situation as we're hearing some of the stories on the ground. And literally right now there is a national call of some black leaders that are discussing what needs to do. And I think if not the attorney general, but out of the attorney general's office, they will be speaking with some leaders. I don't know if that was a private call, but that is going on. But we do have some people over in Geneva and Berlin as they're talking about the issue of Ferguson internationally. And so this is a major issue that's going to break. And as we talked about last week, the elections have happened, and we're now seeing a lot of stuff going on as it relates from the Republicans and some legislations and things that they're trying to quickly to push through. So there's going to be a lot of repercussions coming through that will make us and push us into doing what the theme has been so well stated on as Dr. Ava, and that is separation. And I would advise everybody to continue and go back, relook, restudy the time and what must be done, the time and what must be done by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the words and guidance that he has given us. So everything that we're seeing and experiencing right now is not a shock. Even the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I do believe back in August, as he talked about Ferguson, is just almost a caption of what's getting ready to take place in Chicago and all over the country. So we need to be watching the news and paying attention. Also, I wanted to shout out Mosque Number 4 and Student Regional Minister Brother Kadir and the believers in Mosque Number 4 for inviting our good brother, Brother Jesse Muhammad. He's still on that Twitter tour, so you need to get your book, the teachings, you know, Sayings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that Twitter book, some of his tweets. You can make sure that you can get that at store.finalcall.com, store.finalcall.com. So Brother Jesse was there this past weekend, and our brother Derek in the Ministry of Justice, Brother Derek is in Houston right now doing a book signing. His book is ASAP, A Street Activist Perspective, A Street Activist Perspective, ASAP. He's doing a book signing at the Rice Loft right in Houston, Texas. And our other brother Jasirietz, is speaking right now at the Point Park University in Pittsburgh, talking about how to be in the industry and using the culture to be an activist and for social justice. Also, we want to hear, and when she comes back, we're going to let Dr. Ava talk about justifiable homicide when she spoke this past Saturday in Milwaukee, because we need to know how to deal and what's coming down, because we know homicide is just the killing of two people or someone killing someone else, but when it's justifiable, we know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did lectures on this particular topic. Also in the news, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be making an appearance at Morgan State University on the 22nd of this month. That lecture will be at 6 p.m. on that Saturday. Doors open at 3, but they're also having a reparation conference that weekend, starting on that Friday, sponsored by the Student Government Association and other students that are on that campus. So you don't want to miss the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in Baltimore, Maryland, at Morgan State University. Also, just a shameless plug, Climate Change album by the Hip Hop Caucus releases on this Tuesday with Neo, Common, Crystal Waters, Elvarna, and getting people involved in understanding carbon pollution and things that are killing our community and communities of color, from power pollution, landfills, and things that cause asthma and cancer in our community. But I think shortly our sister will be right back, and we do have a good
I'm
show
back.
For you tonight as always. We do have a good show for you as always, and it's a power pack. But we're going to turn it back to Dr. Ava, and she will give us what she wants to give us. But I do ask her to give us a snippet, if she doesn't mind, of her talk on this past weekend in Milwaukee about justifiable homicide as we on the wake of hearing the verdict of the grand jury as it relates to Ferguson.
Well, thank you, Brother Terrence. And, of course, always you keep us informed and enlightened on things that matter to our community. It is always a pleasure to hear from you. The gathering in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, this past Saturday, which was organized by a coalition and primarily led by the believers and laborers of Muhammad Mosque Number 3 under the leadership of Student Minister William Muhammad. It's a very hard-working mosque. Number 3 also has a very powerful history in the founding and development of the Nation of Islam. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad spent a lot of time driving back and forth between Chicago and Milwaukee in the very early days of the building of the nation. And the Milwaukee believers had a reputation for their charity and their commitment and dedication, and it remains so today. You know, this is, as the final call headlines noted a few weeks ago, it is open season on black people. The minister warned us of this time, and, you know, it's a great and dreadful day. It's great in that it's consequential, and we can stand strong and feel a greater degree of security and stability in the man that we follow because we see his words come to pass. But the sadness is that his words had to come to pass because, right, frankly, you know, black people have rejected the call of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad giving us God's will, which is for us to separate from the children of our tormentors for myriad reasons, but the primary reason is these people are open rebels against God. They were made in an act of rebellion. It is in their genetic makeup to be rebellious. Dr. Yacoub, as a child, said he was going to make a people to rule over the black man, so they don't know any other relationship to have with us except one of master to slave. So now, as Minister Farrakhan stated, in fact, yesterday I was blessed to be in a meeting with him, and he stated that the enemy now has shed his cover and cares nothing about letting you know what his intentions are. And in Milwaukee earlier this year, a young man who was bothering no one, disturbing no one, obviously unarmed, was approached and provoked and harassed by a white police officer, and ultimately the same officer who aggressed him and disturbed him, and the brother did absolutely nothing more than any of our brothers and sisters ever do, except what are you doing, what's going on, and he ended up being killed. The police officer shot him 14 times. 32 years old, Dontre Hamilton. And again, in line with Trayvon Martin, Jordan Davis, Michael Brown, it is basically only when you have a family that refuses to accept this type of horrific, violent, and unjust death that we even find out about these killings. Trust and believe, they are going on all day, every day, right, across America. And so people are infuriated in Milwaukee. They are infuriated in Ferguson. And remember Minister Farrakhan's August 17th message, wherein he stated that Ferguson was a microcosm of this world as it goes down, and that it would be the catalyst, and it would lead ultimately to Chicago, the headquarters of the Nation of Islam, the home of the first black president, the home of civil rights leader Reverend Jesse Jackson. Chicago has a history steeped in black achievement and That's right. black self-identity. In fact, it was laid out and settled first and foremost by a black man, John Baptiste Du Sable. And so this is where we are now. Most of you know that yesterday the governor of Missouri called a live press conference and announced basically that these people are prepared to go to war, even though the grand jury in the Michael Brown case has not issued a decision yet. We're being told in our face that if we dare react to the decision, in a way that white people find unacceptable, that we're going to be put down like rabid dogs. He made a statement that at the time of the murder of Michael Brown, he didn't use the word murder, but at the time of his murder, there were peaceful protesters, but there were so many criminals that took part in the protests or inserted themselves, and that's who they're after. They're after the criminals. And, of course, to them, all black people are criminals.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and so he made it very clear that this was not under any circumstances going to be tolerated. And in other words, we're ready. They're calling in the National Guard. He spoke with great passion about how worn out and exhausted the police are from trying to maintain the peace. So this is where we are at this moment. It is time to separate. And
yeah. And I think
so. Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
No, and I was just hearing to say, I think one of the good points that you mentioned when you mentioned about what's going on in Milwaukee, you know, and I've said this before, people have asked me over and over again, have you gone to Ferguson? And I say, I live in Ferguson. Wherever I walk as a black man in America,
yes,
I'm living in Ferguson. Just because you don't know about the situation that happened in every city, major city, mm-hmm, and small city in America as it relates to black people, doesn't mean that which has happened in Ferguson is not going on in our communities. That community just erupted, but those incidents go on. And the sad thing about it, a lot of those incidents go on constantly and regularly, as there was a meeting in my city recently, and some pastors came together to have a press conference about a gentleman that was killed while being detained in a jail. So they was having a press conference about trying to do an investigation about what's going on, and the sheriff called a meeting of the pastors. And the way it was, you know, laid out, it was like, you know, why did y'all go and do a press conference without coming to see me? And it was the same old slave master, like, y'all can't have no press conference without checking with me and talking to me first. And one pastor, I helped you back years ago about such and such and such and such. So I'm saying that these cases are not isolated. They are very much so rampant. And Ferguson is, like you said, is that teapot whistling, because it's hot there. You know it's hot.
That's right.
It's been hot.
That's exactly right. And Dr. Ridgely, we're going to hear from you before we move into tonight's subject, which is books and films. And I have some, I'm calling them guests, but they're family members who are demonstrating the brilliance of the stars that the light-giving sun, Minister Louis Farrakhan, is producing. So before we go into this exciting segment, we always want to hear from our Elevated Places analysts.
Well, so many things have been going across on my mind, but, you know, these sheepdogs, the police, shooting down the sheep is just payment for them not asking about their money. In other words, their money was ripped off after 9/11. I mean, trillions of dollars were stolen. And the financial crisis in 2008, 2009, trillions of dollars were stolen. So that 40 to 50% of the 401ks, the pension funds, and those funds that actually pay the police their retirement were snatched from them by these Jews. And they are so punctified, they won't ask about their money, but instead they attack us who have done them no harm, but who like the sheep and something they like to eat. So we as black folks have got to understand who we're dealing with. We've been told this. We don't want to believe it, but Ferguson and other places are showing it to us. Like you said, these people only desire to rule over us. And the only way we can have peace is to be without them. We must leave from among them. put ourselves in a position that if they come in our area, they will be the aggressor, and we should fight them. And then if you believe, as we do, that there is a God that has power, then we should pray for that God to take them out. But he can't take them out when we're hugging on to him, talking about, will you accept me? We need to separate and let God do his thing.
Yeah, and you know, that's
my story,
and
I'm sticking
point.
To it.
Yes, well, look, that's the only and final solution to all of this. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that in order to go into the hereafter and join the heavenly society, you must give up this world.
Come on.
You must give up this world. And our biggest enemy, I forgot which general made the statement to his army. He said, I have seen the enemy, and it is us. It is us. And so what is standing in our way, again, is our emotional attachment to the children of the slave master. And we are now faced with a choice. It's very clear, God or Satan. That's it. It's not rocket science. The choice is clear.
Right.
What's difficult is rising above emotion into the thinking of Allah, God. And that is one of the purposes of this Thursday night forum, is in a world of filth and debauchery and aberrant behavior, this discussion, this forum, draws some of the most brilliant minds on the planet. Because to be students of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in this day and age means that we're sparks in the darkness, we're light in the darkness. And so it's a blessing, I believe, that believers more and more in the Nation of Islam are beginning to produce works. If we are going to have an independent educational system, we have to have independent thought and then put that thought in writing, because over a period of time, all of the enemy's books and thoughts are going to have to disappear. Because as the Bible predicted, the former will not be remembered, nor will it come to mind. So led by the Holy Quran and Message to the Black Man and all of the books and lectures that were transcribed into books by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the profound, extensive writings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, self-improvement, the basis for community development, and now being prepared, the time and what must be done. This is the base of knowledge of a new world coming in, and people among us, fellow believers, are being inspired every day by this new knowledge, and they are putting that inspiration and enlightenment into book form. And, of course, Dr. Risley, your new book is out. My new book is out. Brother Terrence just read a list of books by our fellow believers. We have believers who are producing online magazines, newsletters. We've got blog talk shows galore. We are doing it. And so don't ever think that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's work is for naught, no matter what the enemy tries to lead us to believe. But that does not negate our need to be on the case and moving forward. And so that brings me to our incredible guest that we have on with us tonight. There are two books I have in front of me, and when you hear about these books, you will be getting them this evening. The first book is entitled, and I just never would have even thought of something, a work this powerful, but in order for us to receive this work, great loss had to be endured by the authors of this book. But it draws your mind, heart, and soul to something that many of us take for granted. And that book is entitled Married to an MGT, Muslim Girls Training. And the subtitle is The Blessing of Having Heaven at Home in a Black Woman, Overcoming Loss and the Words that Could Save Your Marriage. And the two brothers who came together to give us this book, Brother Jihad Hassan Muhammad and Brother Rodney Assad Muhammad, are joining us on the line. And I'm going to come back to this book, but I first want to open up the line also to a sister who is so beautiful and so brilliant, but at the same time, she is handling two young FOI, and she's a professional at the same time. And I was blessed to have her as the editor of Naturally Beautiful, but even deeper than that, it is this sister who last year emailed me a transcript of a lecture that I did many years ago and said to me, this lecture has to be fleshed out, updated, and made into a book. And I'll tell you, when this sister gives you an instruction, you will follow it, all right? She's very feminine. She doesn't scream and yell, but she just speaks with authority of a black woman, queen of the planet Earth. And I am talking about Tracy C. Muhammad and her book, Journey to Joy, Morning Motivators and Random Observations. And I have read Married to an MGT, and I am reading Journey to Joy, which I'm so thrilled that this book is out, because you know how in the world of Oprah and Dr. Phil and those people, all of these motivational people, and by the way, they got that from the Nation of Islam. But, you know, you want encouraging words from someone who's very insightful, but you want it to be somebody that believes what you believe.
Right.
And so now I don't have to get something from Barnes and Noble and deal with what Oprah says, because she's got, bless her heart, she's on the Forbes list, $3 billion net worth, but she doesn't seem very happy to me. I want to bring on to the line Sister Tracy C. Muhammad, Brother Jihad Hassan Muhammad, and Brother Rodney Assad Muhammad. And I want to say to all of you, it is a joy to have you here. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
Amen.
Oh, this is great. This is great already. I'm feeling the energy. With this, this august body of brilliant minds. You know, I can barely hold my own with Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence, so I'm bowled over. But I'm laughing because I'm not laughing because it's not true. I'm laughing because it is true. That's what made Richard Pryor and Robert Harris so funny. They talked about real stuff. But I want to start with my editor, okay?
Oh, wow. Yes, ma'am.
That's right.
Journey to Joy. Morning motivators, and random observations. And Sister Tracy, I want you to briefly share. We got a whole lot of people are listening tonight, too, by the way. But I just want to share one of your thoughts that's in the book, and then I want you to just talk about what inspired you to do this, and just a little bit about what you are looking to give to the reader. But I want everybody to hear this. When we are dealing with thought, then we are dealing with a light-activated, electromagnetically charged chemical exchange taking place in the mind and body at the average speed of 24 billion miles per second. The faster we think, the more energy, parenthesis, light, we create. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, quote, "We used to physically light up," end of quote. So the, quote, shine we get from eating the right foods, physically, mentally, spiritually, is in fact the result of our brain cells oscillating at a higher vibrational rate. Quote, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth, and that's Holy Quran, El Nur 24:35. And it was you, Sister Tracy, that after being in the nation over 30 years, you were the first person that made a statement to me that allowed me to comprehend thought traveling at an average speed of 24 billion miles per second. Because prior to that time, I was so overwhelmed with the 24 billion miles per second, I did not process average. And you drew my attention to it. You said, that's the average speed
right.
of thought. And you said, Minister Farrakhan does not think as an average person. I said, oh, my God. Okay. And so
that's correct.
Isn't that deep? And with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad telling us that back, and you know, when black people say back in the day, we're talking trillions of years. Okay. We're not talking about 2009.
Come on.
That's right. White people mean Henry Ford. We're talking about back. We used to light up people.
Up.
Wow. Right.
Physically.
Wow. Right.
But Sister Tracy, talk to us a little bit.
Yes, ma'am. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the exalted living Christ, the eternal leader of the Nation of Islam. I greet everyone with Assalamu Alaikum, peace be unto you. I want you to know, Sister Ava, that I'm almost speechless right now. Thank you so much for your words and for the opportunity. Honestly, what started this, and if I'm understanding your question correctly, I have to be honest, I was an avid reader of Yamla Van Zandt, Deepak Chopra, and other people. But as you say, eventually, after reading Taoism, reading the sayings of Buddha, et cetera, you begin to look for words that resonate with the core of who you are as a person and what you have accepted. And you want it in a language that speaks directly to your subconscious mind, which is the mind of Allah within self. And I was blessed in 2011, right before Savior's Day, to be called to meet with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I had written him a letter. And based on what I had written to him, he made a statement to me, and I'm sure, Sister Ava, you're familiar with this. Once he makes a statement, it activates something in you that you get into relentless pursuit mode. I have to know why he said this. And so he looked at me and he said to me, you are a writer. That is what you are. You are a writer. And I could not comprehend what he was saying in that moment is literally as though I'm looking at him and I'm watching his mouth move, and I'm like, he is talking about somebody else. He is not talking to me. And it put me on a road that said, I have to know why he said this. And around that time, of course, he was on Facebook and Twitter and everything, and he articulated what the proper use of Facebook and social media was for the believer, and how it can be used as an instrument to spread positive news, information, and thoughts and I combined my love of the search for knowledge and spiritual aphorisms with the medium of social media. I got a crash course from Brother Jesse Muhammad. Thank Allah for the brother.
Oh,
in how to structure my tweets and Facebook posts, and I began in social media. And I want to say to everyone listening that where you are, whatever medium that you have to operate and own that medium.
Go
ahead. And express yourself in that medium in the best way. Wherever you stand, our brother, Student Minister Nuri Muhammad put it best. He said, wherever you are standing, that is your rostrum. So if you're on the basketball court, if you're in the grocery store, or if you're
on your
iPad or iPhone on the train headed into work, that is your rostrum. And so I was inspired by the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and inspired ultimately by the study guide, Self-Improvement, the Basis for Community Development. And I'll end with this, that the reality is that our first community is our common unity that we have with Allah. When we come into communion with Allah, from that wellspring, we derive our purpose. We get our direction, and we are missioned into helping him to be instruments in his hand for the production of what he desires ultimately. So wherever you are and whatever you're doing, do that to the best of your capacity and know that Allah will help you. And that is what inspired me. I said, I'm going to find out why the minister said this. I don't know if there's more to come. I believe that there's more to come. But you do what you can where you are. And I wanted to be that point where people could say, hey, Sister Tracy has something really powerful and impactful and positive to say in a world filled with negativity. I wanted to follow my minister in truth. I wanted to follow in his footsteps and follow his example, because he is not just an example in one arena. He is the example. And I contend that when we talk about the blueprint, we have to talk about the man, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because in truth, he is our blueprint for everything. So, yes, ma'am.
Oh, all right.
Yes, ma'am.
I told you all. I told
yeah,
you.
Ma'am, you're right.
And Sister Ava, it was so powerful. I mean, I just want to add one of the things that she said. You know, she just laid out the teachings on the Nation of Islam so plainly: accept your own and be yourself. And, you know, and when we do that and be in our own field, and Dr. Bridget always says, you know, the minister set up a nation for us when he laid out the ministries where you can go be you. You know, there are different fields that you can go be you in. You do not define to the five laborers or the fishers of the mosque. Go do you. And when you go
do you,
that kills envy and jealousy, because you're not worried about the other person. You in your lane and perfecting that what you're doing, and that helps you to grow. So it's a beautiful thing that when, you know, like she says, is that, you know, do you. Your rostrum is wherever you are. And the minister loves and supports those doing, who being who they are and doing what they do.
Beautifully said.
Well, you know.
Brother. Oh, yes. Go ahead, brother. Brother.
You know, we were talking just recently, a few minutes ago, you know, and we were talking about how some people are accusing the nation of not being active and not doing a whole lot. Well, I'm seeing now and listening to her and what the minister said, that she's a writer, that he is actually putting forth these little stars in the dark, and it's starting these sparks, and it's on the radar. They're looking at the mosques and the study groups, and they're looking in the wrong place. And I say all praise due to Allah.
Man, that's why I love Thursday nights. Oh, okay. Brother Assad, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
Well, I first of all want to give praise and thanks to Allah for you. You are just a blessing to the nation. You're a blessing to me. And you know, you have something, and I think for a lot of the callers and people logged in are going to be made aware of for the first time, and that is the loss of your beautiful wife earlier this year. And I'm going to read a few words from the introduction for the believers and for the listeners and all logged in, because everybody that comes to this forum is not necessarily a Muslim or in the Nation of Islam, but just people that want to be on a higher vibratory level. And so we've been talking about the mental, but this goes to the heart and soul, and true love of Allah and the trials and faith of a believer. And you quote Malachi 4:2, there is healing in his wings. So I'm just going to quote a read from the book. In writing this book, there is a feeling of relief from the grief. Some that I have spoken to since the transition of my wife, Tanja Renee Muhammad, April the 8th, 2014, have expected me to be grief-stricken, despondent, and numb due to what has happened. My wife was enjoying life and in attendance at her MGT GCC class on Saturday, April 5th, and decided to stay home from the Sunday meeting to prepare for an outing with some sisters at a Native American powwow. She left home at 2 p.m. in high spirits, ready to enjoy her sisterhood time, and by 6 p.m., I had gotten a call that she fell ill from something, quote, something she ate. By Tuesday morning, she was being rushed to the emergency room, and by Tuesday afternoon, April 8th, while waiting on an emergency flight and my attempt to get to her side, I received the call that would forever change the course of what I thought was my destiny. I was told by one of my wife's closest friends who was by her side that, quote, she didn't make it. Yes, there is sadness and pain. However, I am also full of life and happiness due to a knowingness of the power of Allah. I have been blessed with large amounts of creative energy since I was a child, and I always found solace in art, music, and song. However, this life-altering event has unlocked something deeper within me. I am recognizing it as the hand of Allah, God, bringing forth my true purpose. I have always served and helped others. My mother used to bring broken VCR machines home from coworkers just for me to fix. I watched as my mother cared for children that were not her own, some of whom came directly from their mother's wombs into my mother's arms, and she cared for them through adulthood. So service has been in my life and environment and has also been my greatest struggle. You have heard the saying, to whom much is given, much is required. I have found that all the times I attempted to run from service and from helping, my life, soul, and mind would never be at ease. Writing this book has allowed me to complete three missions. One, to do what my wife was trying to encourage me to do the week before her transition, which was to increase my level of service to our nation and community using the gifts and talents Allah has deposited within me. Two, to serve and save a fallen people. And most importantly, third, to finally submit to what Allah God wants from me. The day my wife transitioned, my sadness was not solely because of the person no longer physically present, but for who she was at her core. I no longer had my helpmeet, friend, lover, companion, mirror holder, chef, consoler, business partner. My desire to, and many days I do, scream loudly, is my attempt to tell the world of her value. My tears are tears of joy over the blessing she is, a Muslim girl in training, MGT, is a blessed thing, and everyone deserves to know about it. And so I just wanted to read some of your introduction, and this book is just absolutely incredible. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said there is no such thing as a coincidence. And for you and Brother Jihad to come together the way you did in the most frightening, most of us find it inconceivable to get this type of call. And I want to say to the listeners and those logged in, these are beautiful sisters, young sisters, wives and mothers that we no longer have among us. I have a brochure that I was given by Sister Diana Muhammad, who recently moved here from the West Coast last year and has been making garments for me. And Sister Tanja is modeling the MGT garment on that brochure. And it was when I saw her that I said, I want that. Because not only is she beautiful, and where I want to be in terms of weight, by the way, but her pleasure in wearing that garment comes through the photo and makes every woman want to look like that. So let me shut up and hear from you. Just talk a little bit.
Praise be to Allah. The name of Allah has already been established by Sister Tracy. Thank you for that, Sister Tracy. Sister, that was just to hear you read it, you know. Allah was definitely holding my hand and holding my brother Jihad's hand, you know, when we were writing the book. And I'll say this to everybody listening. It wasn't our intention to do a book. I did not go into it thinking about writing a book. It was really, truly, truly Allah put this in motion. And so, you know, this all came about from those events. But I'll tell you this, Sister Tanya and I, may Allah be pleased with her, we had spoken about Brother Jihad and Sister Azika when his wife passed. We'd spoken about it. As a matter of fact, she was on the phone, one of her best friends who lives in Dallas, and we were all talking. They were on the phone together, and I was in the room, and we were talking about gratitude. And that was something, a mantra Tanya and I had during our courtship, was about gratitude. Always be grateful. We even had three rocks that I got from San Onofre Beach, where Brother Edward and Sister Selena, may Allah be pleased with them, they perished in a plane crash. Brother Jamal, the son of Sister Sarita, he survived just by the grace of Allah, because he almost died, but he survived. Allahu Akbar. And I always, every time I'm in California, I'm driving back there, would always bring me to tears because I missed them both so greatly, because I loved them both. I mean, we were all great friends. And so when Tanya and I were recording, I went out to that beach and I wrote our names in the sand, and I just walked around the beach, and I found three rocks that would represent the father, the wife, and the child that they didn't have, as a symbol for us in the office to always be grateful. Because my thought from that was Allah hates ingratitude, because our brother and his wife, they were talking about a divorce. The week before they perished, Brother Edward was standing in front of Muhammad Mazen at 27 talking to Brother Abdul Sharif, who's now in Atlanta, not former Supreme Captain, but Elder Sharif, and he was telling us he was going to get a divorce. And we said, Brother, you don't have grounds for a divorce. And so we were telling them that, and a week later, they both perished in that plane crash. And my takeaway was that Allah hates ingratitude. Now, fast forward. So here we are. And I, oh my goodness, ooh Allah, I got a chance to watch the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan when he lost a family member in December of last year.
Yes.
And I got called. My sister Tanya and I were in the Bay Area, and I got called. Said, "Brother, where are you? We're in San Francisco. We're visiting family. I'm doing some speaking. We need you to come back. Something happened." I said, "Well, do you need me to come back? Like, cause you know, if you need me, that means it's something super duper serious. You need me to come back." And so they said, "Brother, no, we need you to come back." I said, "Well, if that's what happens, that's what happens." I said, "All right, wife, we want our way back." She says, "All right, let's go." We drove nonstop from San Francisco to Phoenix, Arizona, made it there. I got a chance to watch the Honorable Louis Farrakhan feed the believers. He hugged and kissed the believers. He sat with the believers. He shook hands with the believers. He served us. I got to watch that in December, not knowing that in April that I would be faced with the same challenge. And then, see, if I didn't have the example of how to handle it, and so here we are at this journey now, and so I thank Allah that he went before me as my leader, my teacher, my guide, and I got a chance to see him, which gave me permission to behave the same way.
Woo. Mm. Wow.
And so that's how we got this, all got kind of, the catalyst for this was our beloved sister Karen. May Allah be eternally pleased with her.
Yes.
That was the catalyst for me. And so fast forward, Brother Jihad, his wife, and we got a chance to talk about that, and then not knowing that 28 days later from me and Sister Tanya talking about Brother Jihad and Sister Azika, that I would be getting a call from my brother about two more days after that, him consoling me and saying, "Brother, if you need me, I'm here."
Oh, Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu
Akbar. Yes, sir.
I gotta say the reason why we wrote the book, it wasn't for us to write a book. We wrote the book. I decided to share this experience on Facebook. The reason why I decided to share my experience on Facebook, because I wasn't the only person that loved this sister. This sister was loved by people I didn't even know that knew her. She had helped people. I got calls from people that from college. Old school friends that knew her from elementary school, junior high school, college. A brother, she helped edit his first book back, and he called. I didn't know she was loved by so many people. And so I said, you know, it would be selfish of me to try to keep this sister to myself, so let me share this experience with those who love her too. This was not just my wife. This is a believer. This is their sister, their friend. I got to share this. I can't hold it on to this by myself. So that's what I did. I said, let me share this. And I started to share a little antidote, things that she did around the house with me, for me, that helped me. And I knew I was married to an MGT. I knew that. It was not even a maybe. The sister was not playing with her Islam. She was a better Muslim than me, hands down. We can talk about a nation can rise no higher than this woman, but, you know, my wife had to help me rise my Islam. Because she wanted to, like I said this at a lecture, I said she wanted to go to all the meetings. I don't know too many Muslim in nation visitors. I'm not want to go to all the meetings. I'm sorry, y'all. She wanted to make every meeting. I will skip a meeting. She wanted to make every last one of them, which is like, for me, I was like, what's wrong? I was telling her, what kind of believer are you? And she would always laugh. I'm like, man, you must be in a nation or something. Because she wanted to, she loved it, and she felt bad if she didn't make her meetings. That's the kind of Muslim. So I felt everybody deserved to hear about a sister. We can talk, we can gripe, we can, the sisters ain't, or the brothers ain't. Okay, fine, you can get in that if you want to. But I wanted to show, because I didn't believe this kind of woman was possible, y'all. I'm going to say this. For all the brothers listening, I didn't think this kind of sister was possible. I was on the verge of just giving up, saying, forget it, I'm cool. I'll just ride this rest of this game out. Hey, just immerse myself in work. Just go stack some dough. Keep it. But maybe we'll go get somebody from another country or something. Yeah, that's the real talk. And then Allah said, oh, you want to go there? Here you go. And then here you go, y'all. Not even with this. Then he says, oh, you going to set up a God besides me? Because I was cool. Oh, my goodness, the sister gave me no problem, y'all. No problem. No problem. And so when I started to set her up as a guy beside the law, because I figured, oh, this is the best thing ever. I'm cool. I can just post up. I'm good. Allah says, oh, no, no, no. This is my servant. I'm going to call her back. Now let's see what you're going to do. And here we are.
Well, I'm a speechless, in case y'all didn't know that.
Yes. Yes, sir, brother. Oof.
And, you know, and Dr. Ava, I just want to, you know, say to the brother that one of the statements, you know, almost, you know, I got to admit to my almost in tears. Don't say nothing, Dr. Richard. But, no, it was very profound because the part that he said that he watched something that the minister did before his time came. And I remember the situation of knowing the minister near death experience and him saying, you know, on his deathbed confession, you know, he was just thanking Allah. And I just remember me going through a period of time in my life where I didn't think I was going to make it, but I reflected on what he had done. So it's just amazing to hear the brother tell that story that got him through, that took him to the other side, and to even be able to be at a place where he can share his story with other believers, because we don't know how many people are dealing and going through. So I thank you for opening up your heart and opening up your experience and your story, because it's not just for us in the nation, but it's literally for the world, and how to reverence the woman and how to deal and overcome with the loss of someone. So that's just a very powerful story.
It really is. And I can't believe the time. But go ahead, Dr. Ridges, and I'm going to go to the phones and get a couple of the callers.
Well, you know, it's two things. One of them, he said gratitude. And I know I need a little bit more of that right now, so I'm glad to hear that word. I need that right there.
Me too.
And the other one is, you know, me and my wife, Sister Ann, we've talked about, you know, how do we show the world that we like being a Muslim, you know, because many people, okay, the brothers experience happiness. I've experienced happiness by being in the nation. But most of my people don't even know what happiness is. So they don't know what they're missing because they don't know what happiness is. So those of us who are happy, how do we show it in a manner that they can pick it up so they begin to want to be that which they're missing, but right now they don't even know what they are missing. So this brother's book and his expression may help many of us to understand what we got and also how to share that with others so that they can see what they're missing, because they're catching hell and don't know why. So I just think all praise to Allah.
That's an excellent point. And that's really our duty. As helpers and witness bearers, to let our people know what an incredible blessing it is to be in these teachings. And, you know, the theory is one thing, but, you know, in the book, the brothers really lay out in a very real narrative where you can actually be there with them and their wives in their lives, you know. And see that this is what life is like. If you submit your will to Allah's will, you can have that heaven at home, and we can have an FOI, and he can have an MGT, and this is what it means. But let me run to a few calls. We're really packed too tonight, and I can't believe we're down to 30 minutes. But we got Brother Keith. And this is the Atlanta area. Brother Keith, welcome to Elevated Places. You are live.
Assalamu alaikum to the whole panel and discussion. I want to say peace to the sister and the brother. Brother, I'm crying inside. Brother, I'm a big baby, but, you know, you ain't going to never see that. But what I wanted to say is, you know, because that was heart-touching, brother. That kind of touched me right there, because that's a discussion. I really don't like talking about death and all that. But the mystery God our people suffer from, so since they believe that the white man is God, I want to bring a white man to the witness stand. Pope Francis, I want to say peace to this God. It's an article. It says, Pope Francis declares evolution and Big Bang Theory are real, and God is not in a position with a magic wand.
Wow.
Full fresh. So all the mystery got believable, but we must develop a society based off our own paradigm. We got to separate outside the white man's intellectual paradigm. I was talking to a brother, anytime we go to these colleges, it is not an education. It's indoctrinated and training to maintain the status quo of white supremacy and black inferiority. So anytime we get an education of the white, of going to the white man's institution, not going with a mentality of achieving of getting resources behind enemy lines and bringing back to our home front to build our stuff up, we going as a slave to build up massive stuff. So what we have to do, we got to first separate mentally outside this white man's paradigm, because I refuse to be in a nation of Negroes. I'll stay with the crack before I do that.
Go ahead.
Yes.
But I just wanted to say that, you know, whatever.
We got to
complete constructive change first within ourselves, develop a society of our own making. We don't need the white man's permission to do nothing. The white man
That's
is not
right.
my God or our God.
Thank you so much, brother. Peace to you, too. Yes, sir, Brother Terrence.
No, Brother Rodney. I was thinking that, too, Brother. It starts with also telling our own stories. That's something our wonderful sister Tracy, she says, you know, we have to tell our story. We have to, you know, that's the benefit of why we're having these conversations. We have to, these messages have to come from us. We can't keep allowing our people to only hear the other side's conversation and stories. We have to have these conversations.
Right.
We have to talk about these issues. We don't need a Zig Ziglar and an Anthony Robbins and a, you know, and what's the lady on the TV, whatever her name is, Joyce Myers or whatever.
Myers.
We got an Ava Muhammad.
Yes.
No, yeah,
Joyce
we don't
Myers.
Need a Joyce Myers. We got an Ava Muhammad. We don't need a Joyce Myers. We got somebody already for that. So you want to listen to somebody, just listen to this show. There you go right there. You get your fix. And it's positive, it's motivational, it's inspirational, all that stuff. So we have to just be bold enough to tell our story. So that's right, brother.
And you know, we're taught, you know, I love that, but you cannot win a war just like you can't win a game on defense alone. You can't just constantly, we've been just pushing back the other side, you know, defamation, slander, all that, you know, trying to push back against claims made against us. Forgive all that. Let's just tell who we are and what we are. Because our children have to grow up in a world where the narrative of the deportation of Moon is accepted for what it is, which is a fact.
Right.
All right. It is not an opinion. It's not even an assertion. It's a fact. And so we have to flip that over, as you all are saying, by telling the story.
Mr. Ava.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I just wanted to add, you know, Islam is a logocentric religion in its codification. Logocentric meaning it is thought-centered. The first command from Allah to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was read. You cannot read if there is nothing written to read. So why is that important now in 2014 and as we move into this new educational paradigm, this new world order that is coming from the mind of Allah in the person of Master Farad Muhammad? That is important because not only do we have to tell our own story, but we have to tell our own story using our own words, which means that we have the ability and the power and the authority as original Asiatic people to redefine and reorganize reality by imposing our thought process on it. We have lived with Satan so long that we have forgotten that we each individually have our origin as a thought in the mind of Allah. We are actually thoughts being projected by his will. Powerful thoughts. He was thinking about himself, and he decided that he wanted to see himself expressed in each and every believer and each and every person that we see. So we are the manifestation of Allah's thinking about himself, and in each and every one of us is the essence of Allah, and Allah desired to make himself known. And so following the very nature out of which we are created, we must manifest what Allah has deposited within us. And how we live eternally in aspect is that we do something to effectuate the future. And how do we live in the future, in the now? We live there as a thought, as a vibrant, life-bearing, life-giving thought. And we project ourselves into the future. So we are taught from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that we write our history in advance. Why? Because we walk into the manifestation of our thoughts. And so it is important as believers, as original people, as people, record what you see around you and what you experience, and don't edit it, in the sense that we have a tendency to lean upon just the really great, rosy, happy parts of our lives, but everything that has occurred in your life has happened by the active or the permissive will of Allah, and it was especially designed to grow you into the manifestation of Himself. And so you cannot leave out the parts that you don't like, because that part that you think you don't like may be the very thing to save a fellow believer or someone else's life. They need to know how you got over, as Mahalia Jackson would say. How did you get over? How did you come past that?
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you, ma'am. We're going to go to Brother Terrence. Not, I think this might be double R Terrence, 919 area code.
Walaikum salam.
See, that's what you see with the sister just exemplified. See, now look, I want to go back to brother that lost his significant other. You can't, you know, these are hard trials to establish truth. Then me, you feel what I'm saying? See, now you're getting some real truth put in your ear, some real reality that the Quran said you should expect. All of these particular loss of life, huh? See, all of these things, man, a book is already preparing these things for you. But see, I want to go back and tie in brother, because it was, he's saying I had the perfect MGT, and I was thinking about our sister that addressed Jamaica, the MGT captain, when the minister was explaining when her husband, they, you feel what I'm saying? He said it was nothing she did wrong. And you don't want this in your life? See, I thank Allah for sending Brother Darius to Sister Ava Muhammad. Because when I seen Brother Darius, I said, damn, this is a real knight in shining armor for real. No, I'm serious. See, when you love Islam and you want for your brother and sister, no, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says on page 122 of Message to the Black Man, he said you love and desire for your brother and sister what you love.
Ooh,
he just don't say you want.
Right.
No, he didn't say want. He said love and desire.
That's right.
And
Rick desire.
James, I'm from Buffalo. Rick James, huh? The minister did his eulogy. The minister did David Ruffin eulogy.
David
we don't know the man we're dealing with.
Come on.
Yeah, he touches
all
these planes, all of these surfaces. Oh, my God, I'm just rude, man. And it all started because of losing. See, now, this, yeah, man, all praise is due to Allah. I'm done,
forever.
Man. I'm just so, I love y'all. I just love y'all so much.
Oh, we love
Dr.
you back.
Richley, Sister Ava Muhammad, Dr. our brother, Flight Lieutenant, my queen, Brother Terrence Muhammad, my illustrious leader, teacher, and guide, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, feeding himself through his son, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, my brother, and I want to get back to that thought. You're right, sister. The brother, since we on book this evening, that brother you had on, my student minister, Mathematical and Theology and Physics of God, he also wrote one book, Thought is the Only Reality. See?
Right.
She said, the future, all of it simultaneously, like she said. See, what I'm saying now is present. What I just said is past. And what I'm thinking to say again now is the future. But it's all happened simultaneously in my mind. So,
thank
you know,
you,
all
man.
Reality, we, yeah, I'm just, I thank
yes, sir.
You for the love.
Thank later. You. All right, all right. This
that
is
a five in an hour energy drink.
And that's why this type of discussion is the one our children need to be exposed to instead of all that filth and low level thought. And you know, as sister said, not only telling our story, but in language that we choose, that we choose to express it in. We're down to 20 minutes, so we're going to try to speed through the calls. I think this is Sister Nisi.
What up,
Nisi?
Walaikum salam.
That's even your whole panel. I was thinking in your initial comment, speaking on the brother who was murdered by the police officer, I was thinking, you know, I'm at the point where with separation, I don't care. Let's bring the hypocrites. Let's bring the people who still love the white man. Let's bring who we can't. I don't care. I would prefer to die with those who have attempted to cross over, to cross into our own land, walking into God's commandment, than to be sitting over here still terrified and scared, you know, because we're not ready. Mm-hmm. We're not ready. We don't know what we're doing. I don't care. I'll just go over not knowing what I'm doing and get it started. And, you know, of course, my beloved sister Tanya Muhammad of San Francisco, I just, of course, want to give her a shout-out, and I just love her dearly, and I read the scripture at their wedding, so praise be to Allah.
Wow.
Salam alaikum.
That's right.
So beautiful.
We had a sister-infused wedding.
Oh, that's so awesome. And I agree with Sister. We can do all the filtering on the other side.
Okay.
You know, because we don't even know fully who we are yet because we're with them.
That's
and
right.
their mm-hmm. mere presence in our reality and our presence in their reality disrupts and destabilizes all of this thought. And that's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to teach separation is more important than teaching prayer, because even our prayer is disrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Because our thoughts are toxic to some degree just by being constantly bombarded with their thoughts. Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says something that to me says it all and why we have to separate. He said the white man is the God of this world.
Right.
So that means it's an exercise in futility for Negro leaders to keep telling our people to try to get along. But I'm going to run down to, this looks like, I know 225 is Louisiana. Brother Joseph has a question. Brother Joseph, are you with us? Wa alaikum salam.
Yeah, well, I had a question, but I'm going to turn it into a comment, if that's okay.
All right. Make it brief, because we're down to 17 minutes. And
okay, are your guests?
Yes.
And sister. I just want to comment on what you just said, Sister Ava, about by the separation. We got to separate. That's the bottom line. There's no other line but the bottom line to separate. Because, like you say, separation is better really than prayer, because if we are in a world that all corrupted, and if we praying, what is our mind on? Is it on separation or is our mind praying? How can you pray in a world of Satan and walk with Allah and study trying to hold Satan at the same time? Because this world is just the way the world is. I'm just going to say that. And I want to say give a shout out to my dear sister there. She was down here one time in Baton Rouge, sister of Tracy. This is Brother Joseph. I used to work on your car at one time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
May Allah bless and continue to bless everyone. And Sister Ava, you're doing wonderful.
Yes,
my sister, and inshallah, I will be back on next Thursday. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, sir. Wa alaikum salam. And speaking of yes, ma'am.
Oh, I just have to say, the reason Brother Joseph had to work on my car, everyone that has been to college understands this. College poor is a new kind of poor. And
oh, I know, been there. That hasn't changed over the years.
It has
radical poverty. Yeah.
Ooh, it is radical poverty. You learn real quick
what you
can do without, which lets me know that we can separate and leave these people and make it.
Yes, ma'am.
Because if you survive that, you can survive it.
But, yes, ma'am. But, we got Dr.
Hey, but sister,
Salam.
Oh, before before you get that, that great one that's getting ready to call, I did want I just made a joke about the five-hour energy for when Brother Terrence had called. But I said that because he was juiced up. He's already lit up. But that's the kind of spirit that we get when we are amongst our own. We get excited about this kind of teaching.
Yeah,
this kind of teaching erupts us. So I understand that, Brother Terrence. So when he comes on, you get excited because I already know where he's going to go. But it's because the atmosphere that this show produces is a kind of is a glimpse of what it looks like when we have a Savior's Day and we're so happy, we're so joyous. Yeah. There's so much peace. The Million Man March, everybody was in love. That's what separation looks like. So when all these Negroes are scared, look at Savior's Day, the happiness and joy when we are by ourselves. Look at the Million Man Man March when we are by ourselves and happy. So if we continue that in this show, that's what the separation will look like. So stop being scared and be happy.
That's right. So Dr. Salam is on. We're down to 14 minutes.
Got to
get in there. Assalamu
alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
To your special guest. And I tell you what, everybody is getting to know the flight lieutenant. Everybody, all over the world.
He's wildly popular.
Yes. But the sister hit on spirituality, and that's the root of it all. Spirituality is the direct energy from Allah. But also spirituality is marriage to Allah. And if you marry Allah, you got to divorce Satan because those two things cannot exist together. And that's our problem. We're trying to force an integration with Satan included in the integration. Separation is the key. But just briefly, I wanted to recite this song of Michael Jackson, but there's not enough time. I just want to cite the last paragraph of what he said and give thanks to Allah. He said, Allah is our creator. Allah is our sustainer. And he is the one who has power over all. It's not much else that have to be said by that. If you believe in Allah, dutiful to your cause as a Muslim, and you love Allah, there is no place for fear in your heart if you love Allah.
Amen.
Thank you, family, and I'll listen to the rest of the show. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you, beautiful guest. And I hear that spirituality coming out of you, and it's touching. And keep on sharing that, maybe not in the way you did, but keep sharing it because that's what's missing as believers. Our spirituality is weak. We can get out on post, and we can sell a product, but where's the spirituality?
That's right, brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, sir. Wa alaikum salam. Brother Garthian is calling from the 954 area, which I think is Florida.
Walaikum.
Walaikum salam.
How's everyone doing?
Great. Fine. Thank you.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you. I certainly appreciate the time and opportunity. I won't be long. I was listening to my brother, the brothers that lost their wives.
Yes, sir.
You know, what that makes me think about, and I know, Brother Jihad, we go back 25 years. What that makes me think about is my wife. The relationships in the Nation of Islam must become stronger, husband and wife.
Come on.
Because all of the arguments and the fighting and the not knowing and getting to know one another, if I argue with my wife or you argue with your husband, it is incumbent upon us to look beyond that argument to the potential that's in them. Because while we're angry and frustrated and mad with one another, I promise you this. You know what Jihad wants to do right now? Family? He wants to wake up and hug his wife. See, none
that's
of the
right.
arguments mattered. None of the disagreements
right.
mattered. None of that matters. We must do a better job of mending our relationship. Now, I've been married 17 years by Allah's permission, and we've been through it. But it's the other side of going through it and getting to know one another. We too quick to quit and give up. And
yes,
when we're in those relationships with one another, husband and wife, we get to those points, we argue and we fuss. And at the moment, it doesn't seem like it's going to ever end the relationship that is, or the arguments that is, until one day you wake up, or you wake up and your wife or your husband, they're not there.
Right.
We can teach the planet, dear sister, mm-hmm. brothers. We can drop high science. We can beam through sciences and talk about it all. But you know what? If the basis of community development and the basis of what we're supposed to do starts with the family, and the family consists of husband, wife, and children, what are we going to do if our marriages are breaking down and breaking apart? What kind of nation are we going to have? What kind of community are we going to have without a functional family?
That's
so,
right.
You know, I hope and pray that in all that we do and all that we talk and in all that we teach, that we come back home and be husband and be wife. I remember the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan saying this. I'm going to say two things and then I'm done because I know the time is short. One, in our relationships, the minister said in black male-female relationships, he said, brother, how you got her is how you keep her.
Jeez.
Right. Two, he said this. He said, I want followers that will see the best in one another. You know, it is easy with a fine-tooth comb for me to point out all of my wife's faults. And I have an MGT, 17 years. She can cook, she can sew, she can do all of that. But let me tell you, we get in arguments. It is not the arguing, it's how do you manage the conflict. Relationships move from conflict to conflict, and in between there's ease. So the Quran says, after the difficulty comes ease. We think that somehow or another that's beyond our personal life, and it's not. It's first in our relationship. Well, first is in ourselves. But then it is in those that are around us and our relationships. This part of this conversation and what I'm hearing with my brothers lost, with their wives. See, I'm sure they think about that every day. They'd love to have an argument with their wife.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Yes, sir.
You hear me? You'd love to. Now, you didn't want to then. You love to now. Because here's the reality. Sometimes we treat a hurricane like a rainstorm like it's a hurricane. We have got to learn to put things in perspective.
Right.
Because
it's all
small. When we really consider the big picture, the arguing, the fussing, the fighting, it's really small in comparison to what it could be. That's my comment.
Thank you, sir. Well,
and
that was
David. Can we hear from our brother Jihad after that? Can we hear from our brother Jihad after that?
Oh, is he on now? Because I haven't been able to.
Is he, Brother Jihad, you there? We had him. We thought he was on. He said he was on. I don't know if he pressed one. He might not have pressed
one. Yeah, I haven't seen his. I've been looking for him all evening.
Oh, okay.
And haven't seen him. Because, you know, I would have had him. I was looking for him.
I got early. Okay.
Well, what we're going to have to do then is we're going to have to do this again in the very near future. Because I can see with the call that we need this really bad, both the spirituality.
Oh, that 2 hour thing.
I'm sorry.
About 2 hours.
Yeah, that's the other thing. We're evolving to a 2 hour show, and this proved it tonight, Brother Ridgely, that we need that 2 hours, because just when we're getting rolling, it's time to go. So in the next week or two, we're gonna transition into the 2 hour show. But Brother Garthian, that was just on last, really pulled it together with his statement about marriage as the base of family, which is the base mm-hmm. of a nation. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad raised that question. He said, he challenged anybody to answer, what is above the peace of husband and wife? And I think about the Minister Farrakhan saying to us recently, he said to us, some of you, and this blew me away, he said, some of you will be in the hereafter and not know it.
Wow.
And so you talk about obliterating spookism.
Well.
Right.
See, because we think we're going to go in some Emerald City, Wizard of Oz, cloud type. It is right here. This is our planet. And it's going to start, the hereafter is going to begin with a change of the way we think.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
And when we change how we think, we're going to change what we produce, and we're going to have a different environment. So he said, we'll be in it, and we won't even know it, which made that came back to mind when the brother was saying about how meaningless some of the arguments are that we have. And all of that kind of mindset comes from being around this enemy. See, all that quitting, that idea that I'm out of here, that's from him.
That's right.
They don't know anything about commitment.
That's right.
Dedication, loyalty. They have none except to their pets.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
A man just paid a woman, one of them, Dr. Rizzi, on the Forbes 400 list, paid this woman $1 billion to go away, his wife, his ex, now ex-wife. And you know what his lawyer said? His lawyer said it was a reasonable settlement. Gave this woman $1 billion because he's tired of her. That's their world. That's how they think.
Yes.
But we have to step away from that. Now, Brother Asad, Sister Tracy, where do we get the books?
You can purchase my book by going to tracymuhammad.com. And I want to say tonight for everyone listening to Elevated Places, you will be able to receive a special discount on my book for the next 24 hours just because you're listening to Elevated Places. When you go, you're going to put in the discount code of CXS42B95. If you missed that, don't worry about it. Go over to Facebook and friend me on Facebook, Tracy C. Muhammad on Facebook. And you can follow me on Facebook, and I will have the information up shortly for you. Again, it's a special discount for your listeners tonight. Sister Dr. Ava, my deep appreciation and gratitude to you. And to get the book, again, it's tracymuhammad.com, TRACIMuhammad.com.
Yes, ma'am.
And of course.
Brother Asad?
Yeah, you can get Married to an MGT. Just go to marriedtoanmgt.com. That's marriedtoanmgt.com. And we got the same thing. We know that's how we roll. We it's a giver's economy. We say on the Black Wealth Empowerment line. So we got to get you on Black Wealth Empowerment, by the way. We
got
to get you on Black Wealth Empowerment.
You got it, and I need it. And now, okay, my screener has alerted me. We had Brother Jihad on.
Bring him on real quick. We can't.
But he's Brother Jihad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I don't know what happened. We're so sorry. We weren't able to locate you.
It's all fine. It's all fine. The message has been conveyed, and I'm just thankful to be in attendance.
Yes, sir. Well, we are thankful to you, and we thank Allah for your beautiful wife and her life and service. And we're going to continue these discussions over the next weeks and months. There's just so much we need to talk about together. As enlightened people. And so we thank you so much. And I want to say to you, to Brother Asad, Sister Tracy, of course, Brother Terrence Muhammad, Dr. Ridgely, Sister Rona, our brilliant screener who's handling all this. I wouldn't survive tonight. I mean, and I'm telling you, it is packed. People, this is one of those nights, I guarantee you, people texted and Instagrammed and all that other people and told them they need to get on because the callers bring it. They bring it.
That's right.
On Elevated Places. So thanks to them too. And we thank Allah over and over again. Inshallah, we'll be with you next Thursday evening. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/elevated places. If you have enjoyed our show today, please
bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.